Good morning. Welcome to the vineyard this morning. It's so good to be here this morning. If you don't know me, I'm John Nowitzki from the Dillon Vineyard, and I do the hospitality missions pastor position there. So I bring greetings from Dillon Vineyard here to you today. This morning I'm here with somewhat of a very heavy heart. I've just returned from Nicaragua. I was there for 11 days. Some of you have been in Nicaragua and know some of their situation. So I just want to share just a moment about one of the pastors there. He lost his wife in 21. That, I don't know, he married 30 years or more, maybe 40 years. He met another lady in the church and was married in 22. His wife, his second wife, passed away while we were there. And it's not bad enough that the oppression in that country is such that they're trying to take churches away from the congregation, from the people. And on top of that, then you have these kind of tragedies, which it's life, it happens, it's hard part of life. And so I come to you this morning with that posture of the Lord loves his church. He loves his people, and he is carrying us in every step that we take. We need to remember that he is for us, and even in tragedy, even in hardship, he is for us. This morning I'm going to be reading out of Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. And my question to you is, how has grace changed your life? How is grace changing your life now, today? How did it change it yesterday? So let's go to the scripture. Verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. I like the two words in there in the first verse. You were dead. And in the third verse, we were by nature deserving of wrath. So hold on to those two words. Verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us. So Paul, in verse 1, 2, and 3, clearly is saying we deserve God's wrath. We're sinners, and we fall short. Do we actively justify our actions? Do we make what we do okay and right? Are we leading, or are we just following the things of this world? I'm speaking to myself. I'm not just speaking to you as the church. I'm part of the church. How do I do that? How do you do that? How do we do life? Our sin is deserving of God's wrath. What does that look like? What does God's wrath look like? Do you think about that? I do. I can't imagine it would be good. In my wildest imagination, I don't want any part of that. So the word transgressions, I like sometimes that word can be misunderstood or not understood or not defined. And so I looked it up, different definitions. One is offense, a general breach of law or rule. So what is law and rule? Just say you're driving down the highway and you're speeding and you get caught. You're breaking the law. You're breaking a rule. Do you pay your taxes? Do you cheat on your taxes? Wow, that went sideways, right? But that's law and rule. We have to think about those things. We are representing the King Jesus in this. Sin, a violation of a religious or moral rule. How does that fit into our day-to-day? What does that look like? Misdeed, a bad or improper action. That goes back to that trying to justify our actions. Is what we're doing in our actions glorifying God? Or do we say, well, so-and-so did it, so it's okay for me to do it. They didn't get in trouble, so I won't get in trouble. Maybe it's not a troublesome thing, but is it right? Is your action right? Breach, an infraction or breaking of an agreement or law. A trespass, an inner intrusion or offense against a person or property. Just things to think about, the definition of the transgression. Verses 4 to 9, God's great mercy. It comes to light and gives us life, his great mercy, his love. The worship this morning was God's love for us, his mercy for us, his greatness around us in this place. Sometimes it's hard for us to grasp. In fact, it's really hard for me ever to grasp his greatness, his great mercy for me. by grace we are saved. And it's free. It's a free gift. Salvation is a free gift. It's by faith we receive the gift. It is not by works. We cannot earn our salvation. We can't be good enough. If we think we can be good enough, Scripture tells us that we are saying God is a liar. Because in Scripture, he says we are all sinners and we've all fallen short. Who did it cost? It cost the Father everything, sending his Son to die on a cross for us, for our salvation. The gift that's free, but it cost the Father everything in his Son for that. Again, God's grace cannot be earned. There's no purchase price. There's no good deed. Verse 10, if there's no good deed, how can we do good things then? Does that contradict itself? I don't think so, because God created the good deeds for us to do. He made the way in the freedom of Jesus, in Christ Jesus. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has got a plan for each of us. He's got every step laid out. Just like my pastor friend in Nicaragua. He knew, God knows, what the next step is. He is there for us, there with us. He does not leave us alone, ever. We have to choose to turn towards him, turn towards his invitation of his love, what he has for us in that. Some of what the preparation, I can share some of my story about that, and that's going to Nicaragua. God prepared that place and those people. He prepared me and my wife to go and be a part of their life for 4 years. And then he called us back to the U.S. It changed our complete perspective. It completely changed how we feel and sense and trust the Lord, the love of the Father for us and his people. We've been witness to that. It's my testimony. There are some in this room that have been to Nicaragua and shared in a week-long, 10-day mission trip and got to experience what the love of Jesus looks like in a third world country, in a place that's so oppressed. They live in a cardboard box or a tin shack. It's not, I don't say any of this to bring condemnation or guilt to anyone, but we have something that so many other people do not have. We have a freedom. What we all have, Jesus. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8, I believe that is. And it is, it's a scripture that I stand on and know that wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, he is always before me. He's always with me. He never changes. His word never changes. Also, we have my trip was exciting in the way that we got to visit two of our compassion kids. And that's kind of almost unheard of, to be able to visit your compassion kids. And I got to play with them, talk with them through translation, mostly because I speak some Spanish, but not nearly enough to have a conversation and to enjoy time and understand what's going on in their lives and their family's lives, what's going on in compassion for them through the churches. Compassion is a great ministry to get involved with and support those kids afar. I'm very blessed. We are very blessed to be able to do that. That's a part of the things that God has created for us to do. What has He created you to do? What is He calling you to do? It always comes back as I like to say, you know, people point like this. There's three fingers pointing back at me. So I got a problem. I got to look at me. And sometimes it's really hard to look at me. Me can really be a mess. I can be a mess. I'm human. We're all human. We need one another to support one another, to lift one another up. If we miss that part of supporting one another in our mess, what did Jesus do? How are we going to follow that? This picture that Paul is painting for us is we're sinners, but because of God's great mercy for us in Christ Jesus, we have everything that we need. I'd also like to tell you a story about Nicaragua. And fun fact of driving in Nicaragua, it is, Larry's back there going, go away. I was leaving church Sunday, the first Sunday we were there, and stopped at a stoplight. And they have speed bumps that are this big. And this speed bump happened to be right at the stoplight. And I was on the other side of it, so I slowly started to take off when the green light went. And there was a little van that came up behind me and was on the throttle. And when he went over that big speed bump, he hit me. So what do you do? I could have drove away. I could have drove away. We were all okay in the van. But I'm in a country that if they figure out who I am, they're coming to get me. If somebody else was injured, it was not my fault. So we stopped. And we spent 2.5 hours in the street, in the sun, waiting a half an hour for the police to even show up. So the young man that hit me, he didn't have a driver's license. He was 25 years old, didn't have a driver's license. He calls his dad. Took his dad just before the police arrived. His dad showed up. And his dad walks around the van and our van, and he's looking it over, and I'm like, well, who's this guy? Because I didn't know. And there's all kinds of people milling around that you just don't know, and they're speaking Spanish, and they're fast speaking Spanish, and I can understand pretty good, but it can't be that fast. So I'm kind of shaking in my boots just a little bit. And my eyes locked on that father. He's walking around the van, and he starts talking to that young man, that boy that's there. And the police go to the dad and don't go to the young man for a statement and for driver's license and for all the information. So I get to the side a little bit with the dad, and there, I don't know, we did have a Spanish-speaking fellow with us, so he interpreted and knew what was going on pretty good. But get to the side with the dad, and he's like, this is my son, and he don't have a driver's license. And if the police know that he doesn't have a driver's license, he is going to jail. So I am going to take the fall for my son. And so as I'm watching the dad just walk around the van and walk around and look at his son, and I can see the smoke and the gears, you know, turning. Well, now I have an incident on my driver's license and my insurance, and I got to pay for this van that I didn't hit. And I'm watching him walk around, and I'm watching him. He stopped at one point, and he's off against the fence, and he's looking at his son, and I can see his heart just grieving for his son. That if he lets him take the fall, what will happen to him? And it just gripped me in a whole new way, the Father's love for us. The love of Jesus for us. He paid the price. We cannot pay the price. We keep hitting cars all day long, and we can't pay that price. He looks down on us and he says, come to me, follow me. You are my child. I love you. I want the very, very, very best for you. I have something so much better than you can even imagine. You cannot comprehend my love, but it's here for you. Come to me. So this is Paul's message to us today. God has good things for us. His great mercy for us, his great love for us. Our worship today was spot on as to, wow, what a intro to God's beauty and his mercy for us. You find yourself in a position where you're on the fence. You're not sure how good God's love is, his mercy. You find yourself questioning that today, or yesterday, or maybe for years. I remember the first time that I walked through the doors as an unbeliever, or as a seeker, wondering. If that's you today, Jesus is inviting you into a relationship with him. He wants you to be a part of what he has for you.